both good angels and fallen angels. Now, because we're facing Halloween in 2 nights, as you do, some kind of a teaching right before Halloween happens here. It is about the realms of the demonic, about the realms of fallen angels, and tonight's on the work of fallen angels that you want to take and make sure you kind of keep these notes handy. Some of you folks that have been here for a few years, there'll be some things here that you've heard before. It's going to be kind of rehashing and going back over some things, again, you've heard before in the past. We call that Groundhog Day. But you guys that are newer here, want to make sure we're all on the same page here, because I think it's very, very important to understand how the realms of the demonic actually work, how fallen angels actually function, and some things to be looking out for in these last days. Because the Bible talks about how deception will be one of the main things happening in the last days to drag many believers even into the wrong path. I'm getting amazed, almost amazed, more and more at how even major denominations right now are actually battling with the whole gay agenda. And they're really having a thrashing taking place here among the Southern Baptists, among the Catholic Church, among the Pope, and among other Methodists, Episcopalians, so forth here. Did God really mean what he said type thing is what I think. And so if we see me praying here again, that we just don't let ourselves, not just in that realm, that's just one piece of the pie here, become deceived in any realm the enemy tries to trip us up in. Because the Bible warns us that the enemy is trying to find a foothold. He's trying to find a place in our lives that he might use that to bring worse things in our lives down the road. You've got to realize Satan's never just after you to lie or cheat or steal. He's after legal ground to actually try to make your whole house crumble, if he can do that, okay? And so from the beginning of time, man has had an unhealthy desire for forbidden knowledge. There's actually a whole philosophy group out that was called the Gnostics, Gnosticism. These guys thrived on hidden knowledge, learning hidden things. And so the whole realm of the occult is about hidden knowledge, things that are hidden, and things that are secrets that are not really what God wants us to be involved with, because they're only bad for us and not really good for us at all. The most frustrating words in the world are the four words, "I have a secret." If you tell your child, your wife, your husband, "I have a secret," they'll normally in the natural realm try and dog you until they finally find out what the secret's all about, because they just got to know what the secret really is. Well, that's how the devil also works. He tries to entice us that there's something out there we're missing. And so the realm of the occult, the realm of the fallen angels, the demonic, offers us sometimes hidden knowledge, just like with even Eve herself. The very first sin committed there was Satan told her, Lucifer tells her by the serpent. He says that God knows that if you eat this fruit, you'll receive hidden knowledge and know things only God himself knows, and God doesn't want that. And so she could not resist having the hidden knowledge given to her. She bites the apple there, receives the knowledge of good and evil, and she realizes there the knowledge of evil is not a healthy thing for your spirit, soul, or body. Amen? This whole world has gone through a fallen nature now for 6 years. Because of hidden knowledge, evil knowledge being loosed upon the earth through Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So, in your notes tonight, the New King James Version again is what I use on these notes for the most part. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 says this: "You were once darkness." That means your spirit man was just dead. There was no light in it, no life in it, no Christ in it. You were darkness. "But now you are light in the Lord." All those that are born again believers in Jesus Christ, the light of God is in you. And he says, you are now light in the Lord. He says, "Now walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Then it says here, notice this, "Find out, search out, discover what is acceptable to the Lord." You don't know what God accepts unless you first of all read the Bible, spend time in God's presence, hear the delegated authorities God puts in your life, and find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then it goes on and says, "Have no fellowship, no friendship with the unfruitful works." Notice that word, works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so it says here that Satan and fallen angels actually are not lazy. They actually have works. They actually are doing active things. The Bible even says Satan goes around working all the time like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So realize that demons are angels, fallen angels. They have a great high energy level. They don't grow tired and weary. And they're always actively trying to do something to expand the kingdom of Satan and diminish from if they can the kingdom of God. And so understand that. So There's three take-home points here tonight I've written down. Number one is fallen angels began the occult. The word occult here, your note says this. There's, again, space here for a few blanks. There's some blank spots there to write in the blanks. They'll be on the screen here as well. The word occult actually means hidden. The word hidden goes there, first blank spot. Hidden from. It means secret. It means also mysterious. And so the occult has been around us from the very beginning of time. There's even a man back in the Old Testament named Nimrod. Nimrod was a great hunter of men. He actually was a guy that found sport in hunting people and killing them for sport. He was involved very much in paganism, idolatry, all kinds of witchcraft type things he did himself. And so we find the occult began way, way back with him. I also was very amazed one time when I was in a friend of mine's house in Kansas whose father became one of the highest degree Masons you could become. He had a Masonic Bible laying on his living room coffee table. And so I began to page through that. It's a great big old giant family Bible. And the front part of the Bible had all kind of writings there about the Masons. And it says, it's amazing to realize that Solomon wrote as many writings for the occult in his backslidden state as he did for God in his godly state. And it says, we Masons actually receive a lot of our teachings and our doctrines from the discovered writings, manuscripts from Solomon, hidden under the temple by him, by Solomon himself. Now, I'm not sure if that actually did really happen in real life, but it shows us again that a lot of occultic things took place by men who had wisdom in God's kingdom, but they became twisted somehow and began to have wisdom in Satan's kingdom, and they began writing things down and doing things, doctrines. The Bible talks about a thing called doctrines of demons. All cults, all false religions can be traced back to a person being spoken to by a demon and then writing down what the demon says and writing down entire books of Mormons, writing down entire Hindu manuscripts, writing down entire Korans. These things are all written by the inspiration of the unholy spirit. Amen. Our Bible comes, the Bible says itself, from the inspiration, God's breath itself from God. So also the counterfeit of that is the breath of the enemy, the devil, writes many, many false doctrines and false manuscripts where the occult comes from. I myself, I've seen the occult around me like you guys have also. Growing up, told the congregation here several years ago that when I was in Kansas, moved from the farm in Missouri to Kansas in Wichita, one of my relatives was actually about a 13, 14-year-old young lady who was living down in Derby, which is about 10 miles south of Wichita, and her parents bought her a Ouija board. That was very popular back in the 1960s, very innocent little toy there. Bought her a Ouija board for Christmas, so he's playing with that in her basement. And she said, now I want you, Michael, I want to take and put my fingers very, very lightly on this Ouija board, on this side. You put your fingers on this side very, very lightly. Don't push, don't do anything. Just put it very light, barely touch it. And we're going to ask Ouija board questions. It's going to move around as we barely touch this thing and answer those questions. Well, I came back from Missouri, and I actually had a crush on a little six-year-old girl there. It was my age when I was 6 years old, named Kathy Fowler. And her name was spelled not C-A-T-H-Y, it was spelled K-A-T-H-Y, very unusual, Kathy Fowler. And so this smart aleck 13-year-old girl, friend of ours, she says, Ouija board, who does Michael have a crush on? That's one of the questions she asked it. To my amazement, this thing began moving by itself with our fingers barely touching it. It goes K-A-T-H-Y. Now this girl had no idea at all that Kathy even existed. And I was not touching his Ouija board, just barely even put my hands on that. I realized there again that the enemy can work through people and make things move around and happen there to try and be a trap and a snare to them. We asked this Ouija board different questions there. It answered them correctly every single time there. And the amazing thing about Ouija boards, you found out also, was if you ask them, where does your power come from, they always spell out Beelzebub, Satan, or Lucifer, or something like that, every time. And so that's something that got a lot of kids trapped. Things like Ouija boards took place in the past and things beyond that as well. Our rock seminars, we did about 300 of those across our country, of course. We exposed a lot of the occultic influence took place by some of the rock bands of our nation. We had folks like the Moody Blues singing songs like The Reaper about suicide and so forth. We had people like Kiss, of course, who most folks thought their name might have stood for Kings in Satan's Service with the satanic S's and so forth. We had Black Sabbath doing satanic altar calls at their rock concerts sometimes. We had people like Iron Maiden with 666 on their album jackets. It's on and on and on and on. You can go. And I began exposing things about the whole backward masking subliminal thing of rock music as well, not just myself, but folks like me also. And we began to see there's a great onslaught going on in the whole occultic realm through drugs and through rock music and through other things around us, all kind of coming together there. Then the film comes out called The Exorcist. And that film was actually, it scared and petrified and terrified so many Americans that actually churches started getting filled up, not on Sundays, but on weekdays, because folks began getting terrified. I may have a demon living in me. I don't want to see my head spin around like that. I don't want to see myself looking like that in my house. And so all these things coming together here. And the Bible says in the last days there shall be fearful times, which means there shall be demonic times in the last days. I also told you guys, I've been here for a while, that I ministered in the rock seminars at Christ for the Nations with a person named Fiona Desfontaine, Fiona Cudmore back then, an ex-spiritist medium from South Africa. She was very, very deeply demon-possessed. And by the grace of God, when she fell or jumped off her boyfriend's shoulders as an unsaved witch, she actually broke her neck at concertinaed. She was paralyzed from the neck down. She goes to an evangelistic service she was invited to in a wheelchair. The evangelist calls her to the platform, lays hands on her. God heals her instantly. A demon-possessed witch gets healed instantly of a broken neck and concertine spine in her 30s. And through that experience of getting healed first, she receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but then starts going through demonic deliverance after that. Okay, so she was able to give us a whole lot of knowledge and things about the whole realm of witchcraft, spiritism, white witchcraft, and demonic activity there I didn't really know about. And so she's kind of added to my knowledge as well in the whole realm of the occult and fallen angels and how demons work and things of that nature. I have a lot more to learn, but I learned some things from her. And right now she today ministers on TV sometimes in Israel with Kim Clement. You might see her on TV once in a while. And she's also got a church of 1,000 people in South Africa. There's this thriving a Bible school there. So God's in a dramatic work in her life as a powerful teacher in the secular realm. God's now using her like a Joyce Myers in South Africa in her own realm. So I just praise God for her life also. So moving on here, man, it says in your notes here, is in danger of occultic involvement because of his curiosity and because Satan masquerades, the Bible says, as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 verifies this, says that Satan again masquerades, disguises himself as an angel of light. We all know that are mature Christians that Satan does not have a pitchfork and a tail and horns and a red suit. He has a very, very beautiful suit and comes in a very, very subtle way. The Bible says the serpent came to Eve as the most subtle of all the creatures on the face of the earth. I want to be like Jesus was more and more of her. Jesus could actually take his own friend, the disciple Peter, and discern when Satan was talking through him. When Peter said, "You shall not go to the cross and die in this way," what does Christ say? "Get thee behind me, Satan. You have not got in mind the things of the Spirit." That's Jesus Christ again, not rebuking Peter, but the Spirit that was talking through Peter, putting thoughts in his head that were from the enemy himself. He comes to us like an angel of light, and through even sometimes believers in innocent ways who may have fear or something like that operating in their lives, perhaps in some way. He offers something also of benefit. The occult offers things of benefit to us. And so make no mistake, some people involved in black magic make a lot of money. They do get very rich. Folks that are psychics are making a lot of money sometimes. They receive some benefits from that. But the Bible says that God gives wealth and adds no trouble to it. I found whenever Satan gives wealth, he always adds trouble to it. Anything that comes from Satan's hand, also it smells of him, and it's going to be something that has something of killing, stealing, and destroying added to that right along with that, okay? So moving on here, your note says, the occult is appealing because it offers knowledge, hidden knowledge especially. It offers excitement. It's exciting to see us float in the air and levitate. It's exciting to see Ouija boards go around by themselves. It's exciting to cast spells on folks and see them get sick. That's all exciting things in our own flesh. It offers prestige. I mean, people are afraid and scared of the demonic. They're scared. They're afraid of black magic and things of that nature. It makes many people get afraid. It also gives you a sense of belonging, because many occult practices or people that come together, they have a team, a coven, and so it also causes belonging sometimes for rejected people, hurt people, and so forth. It brings a connection to the universe as well, because when we get involved in astrology, we find ourselves hooking up to the stars that are there. You know, I found also, as I mean, one thing I can discern, or I think, I don't know why anybody could not discern this, but you can look in some people's eyes and you can see serpents, demons looking out their eyeballs. Almost every mass murder I've seen at Columbine or these school shootings or whatever else, even many rock stars, I can see demons looking out their eyes. When they show their picture in the newspaper or on television, it's not their eyes I'm seeing. I'm seeing a demon looking through their eyes, okay? And so these guys are people that are getting connected to the wrong source. And then also your nose has a blank spot here. The occult brings quick results. You know, God, again, like I said, time and again, is into marinating. Doesn't always do things as fast as we want him to. But you cast a spell on somebody or pay some demonic price, Satan will many times do things fast and quick, and people want that. They want quick results, fast results. But again, there's a price to pay for that. Also, it brings, of course, supernatural power. Okay, so next of all, Satan is not original. Understand that Satan is a created being made by God, and so he understands that God has got the best of everything. And that's why in Isaiah chapter 14, before Lucifer falls, or while he's falling and rebelling against God, he says, I will make myself like the Most High. I will exalt myself above your throne. I will sit on the throne of the assembly, and I again will make myself like the Most High. So Satan is not really a creator so much. He's a copycat, a perverter of things that God does that brings blessings. Somehow Satan gets a hold of them and tries to bring curses. But he copies God time and time again. You'll find that in most black magic circles, most satanic churches, when they're talking and chanting backwards, they're actually mocking, most of the time, they're doing Catholic services in a blasphemous type way. They're sometimes having those smoke incense deals, they're waving around and so forth. They're chanting things backwards. They're saying sometimes the Lord's Prayer backwards. They're saying sometimes scriptures backwards. And so these things are all done there as a perversion backwards of what God's like himself in his kingdom, okay? So moving on here. He also can duplicate the gifts of the Spirit. Satan can duplicate tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, miracles, faith. All the gifts you can think about there, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Satan can duplicate all the gifts, but he cannot duplicate the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so don't be impressed all the time when you see gifts operating through people in big platforms, because it might be demons working through them, because Satan can actually, again, manifest gifts, but he cannot manifest the fruit that goes with the gifts. How many folks, like we heard this last teaching here by the Holy Spirit on John Bevere, that actually the fruit is much more important than the gifts. Amen? And so God wants character. God wants fruit. God does not just want gifts only. Again, power comes and goes, but God's nature and God's character remains with us forevermore. Okay? Again, I want to remind you guys, I haven't been here for many years. When Fiona, the person I knew of in South Africa that was actually a witch, when Fiona healed somebody by demonic powers, and she actually saw cancers healed with the power, she wasn't praying in Satan's name. She thought that the demons working through her were her friends, and she thought they were there to help people out for the good. She didn't pray in Satan's name or Lucifer's name, but she would lay hands on people, and she saw cancers healed. She saw deaf ears open. She saw blindness cured. But she also said, I was amazed that within 1 year, every person I laid hands on and prayed for and something took place for them in the demonic realm went through a curse in their life. Many of them died of car crashes. Many of them got cancer that came back and killed them. Many of them went through murders. So they committed suicide. Every one of them got a curse in their life that somehow took their life or did worse for them than what they had before. Okay? And so Satan can manifest the gifts, but it brings a price along with the gift. Okay? So understand that as well. I look, you guys find yourself tempted in that realm yourselves, but just understand that. Whenever Fiona finally got woken up, Fiona did, when she was being delivered of her demons by the evangelist praying for her in her living room, or I think or in this crusade. I can't remember, I can't get it all straight where she was in her house or her crusade or whatever else, but I just know the demons got cast out. And I do know that she said, one time in my house, a spirit that actually I thought was my friend who talked to me softly and kindly and said he loved me and all these great things, when it started getting delivered and cast out of my life, this thing actually shoved my tongue down my throat and tried to choke me to death and kill me. But it couldn't do that. It then picked me up through levitation and tried to throw me out the window of my high-rise apartment. And so you can see there, she realized very fast, these demons did not love her, did not like her. They were using her for their means. And when they started seeing their means were going to be gone, they tried to kill her and take her life, okay? These things all took place for her in a very, very powerful sense. So you're playing with fire when you play with hell and play with demons, okay? You're just playing with something that's going to cause harm to your life and not good. So moving on. Satan's also even a counterfeiter of the anointing. And so the anointing, you'll see sometimes people will fall under the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I see think people get sometimes knocked backwards even by the power of the demonic sometimes. The Bible talks about degrees of angels. I believe there's also ranks of angels. The Bible says our fight is against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. So there's different levels of demons. And in fact, Jesus Christ himself crosses the Sea of Galilee, comes to the Gadarenes, and comes to the guy that's got 1,000 demons in him. And he says, what is your name? He says, our name is Legion because we are many. And so that's actually a powerful, strong, demonic prince whose name was Legion, okay? Witches in South Africa, when we actually lived there, we were told by the folks that were there that lived in that country that sometimes witches would actually come to the crusades for evangelism because they knew there'd be demons being cast out. They wanted to receive the demons in them to get more power in the realms of darkness, in the realms of witchcraft. This shows these guys in their occult, they actually know that there's power in the realms of the occult and the realms of the demonic, and they actually sometimes invite that and want that even in their lives, okay? Now, the good news here, of course, is Jesus is greater than all angels. There's no angel, good or bad, that is greater than Jesus Christ or even anywhere near equal to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not the king of all angels, the biggest of all angels. He is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. And all angels are subject to Jesus Christ himself. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 4 would verify this. It says, an angel went down to a certain time to the pool and stirred up the waters. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the waters was made well of whatever disease he had. Jesus comes on the scene and tells a guy who's been trying to get in the water first for years and years. He says, don't wait on no angel. I'm here. I am Jesus Christ, Messiah, Son of God. I say, arise and be healed and walk. And he was set free from that hour. He was showing there that even angels of heaven have not got the power that Christ himself has got to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it on the face of the earth. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister or serve for those who will inherit salvation? That's you and I. So angels are under the direct control of God the Father. They're here to serve us, to serve mankind, but also to serve God. And they're here around us to be ministering spirits that work through us by the power of God. I believe when we come together like this tonight on Wednesday nights, there's angels all around us, good angels. Your angels are here right now, and they're ministering spirits to help you understand God's word, understand what God's saying, release healings and miracles at God's command as well. And so praise God for the ministering angels God releases around us. They are not equal to Jesus, but they are servants of Jesus, and they're here to help us out upon the earth. Amen. So, moving on here, we're in a time where occultic phenomenon, of course, is still increasing. It got very, very big back in the 1960s when the Beatles brought in the Maharishi Mahesh Yoga. They brought in a whole lot of Hindu thought with him. Their songs started getting more and more involved in transcendental meditation. And they started getting more and more groups besides them started pushing things of TM and of mind control and of a sixth sense and Hinduistic type thought and so forth and so on. And so we're in a time right now where that took place in the 60s. Then mind expanding drugs also came in the same time. And many folks started getting their minds released in the realms where demons started talking in them and through them. And entire cults started getting birthed very, very strongly back in the 60s. And so free love breaks out. Rebellion breaks out. People get involved in free thoughts. And we start seeing a lot of foundations in the churches started eroding starting back in the 1960s of our country. And unfortunately, it's gotten worse and worse and worse as time has gone by because we have not had the move of God take place yet to take and dam up and stop the increase of what Satan's been trying to do all these decades. Of course, now the good news is, at the same time, there was a charismatic movement. There were millions that come to Christ through that, get filled with the Holy Spirit there. And I pray to God that we start seeing that next wave break loose as well, that helps us see that same kind of a charismatic move above and beyond that break loose on the body of Christ in these last days. Because the good news is, we're still taking much ground from the powers of darkness in nations all over the world. And there's still millions coming to Christ every day on the face of the earth in Jesus' name, okay? We're in a war. The war is still here. It's around us. But Satan has been successful in some ways in America to erode some foundations. There's no doubt about that in our country. But again, the church also has more weapons, more technology, more anointing, more truth, more light than they've ever had before. And we're using that more and more effectively, I believe, in these last days. Amen? So, the New Age section of bookstores, we see it's very, very large. I'm amazed. I go to Barnes & Noble right now because they had this series that came out a few years ago called the Twilight Series. It appeals to teenagers and folks in their 20s. There's now at least 2 to 4 rows of books all about fantasy things like the Twilight Series at Barnes & Noble and bookstores like that. They're totally full of witches and spells and New Age philosophies and thoughts, and witchcraft is very rampant in these things as well. And we're seeing that happening more and more in our bookstores in our nation. There's still psychic hotlines. You can dial a demon and try to get answers and solutions prophetically in a demonic realm. There's still witchcraft happening in our city. I'll promise you right now again that whenever this weekend comes, Halloween happens, there'll be witch covens that'll be doing things. And one thing they do is many times they start speaking curses against churches, against pastors' families, against believers, against what God wants to do in a city. They start releasing also the agendas of hell, more so asking the devil to breathe on those things. And so it's a good time for us to do spiritual warfare this weekend, this week, and say all those curses being spoken out are going to come to nothing in Jesus' name. I bind those again. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two of us put 10,000 to flight. And so don't become ever intimidated by demons around us, witches around us. They don't have the power that we have in Jesus' name. Amen? Understand that. Okay, so there's activity happening around us, of course, with television, movies. We all see that, okay? Number two, angels operate also in the supernatural. Angels operate in the supernatural. We know that man has 5 senses, touch, smell, sight, feeling, hearing. There's 5 senses. We've all heard of a thing called the sixth sense. So that's just a movie that came out, I think, a few years back. The little boy said, "I see dead people." Okay, and I think it was called Sixth Sense. That was very, very scary to many, many folks there. Just very, very macabre, it seems like. But very quiet as well throughout the whole movie. But understand, the sixth sense does exist, but it has to do with the workings of supernatural forces through our soul. The word soul goes there. Realize that a person who's not born again, their spirit man is dead. Their spirit man is not alive yet. Their spirit man is there. It's in them, but it's not operating. It's not functioning. Okay, so the sixth sense is not an unbeliever letting their spirit man come alive and then do things supernaturally. It's demons working through them, in their minds, in their soul, to have things take place that are supernatural on the face of the earth. Because the fact is, demons know your grandma's name. They know where your grandma lives at. They know your grandma's address. They know her license plate number. Those things are just little elementary things for demons. They know all that stuff very fast. They travel the speed of light. They're angels made by God. They've got brains. They've got wisdom, their own demonic wisdom. And so it's not hard for a demon to say and use words of knowledge through people on television, through psychics, okay, that it says, oh, wow, this guy's got a real supernatural spiritual power working through them. They've got a demon working through them, okay, that knows things, that's talking to their brain, their soul, and speaking through them, this kind of a hidden knowledge type deal, impressing people, unfortunately, with that. So people who are psychic are picking up demonic communications and just voicing those things out themselves. Folks that do supernatural healings. When I was a young, kind of an ignorant high school kid, I saw movies where they showed demonic activities like in South America, folks doing surgery with their bare hands, reaching into a man's body, taking out a tumor with his bare hands, pulling it out, and then seeing the thing supernaturally close up with no scar and no wound. That is a demon doing that, okay? And demons can do supernatural things like that, but the problem again is that person's been touched by a devil, not touched by an angel. It's been touched by a devil, and it's probably going to come some real problems in that person's life who got healing and things like that. So don't be impressed by that, and don't let your kids be impressed by things like that either. And let them realize these are devils doing this. It is not some person with supernatural X-Man powers that are doing this on the earth, okay? So God's a God of the supernatural. But you will know it's him when he does something supernatural because he draws people through that to Jesus. God will use the supernatural to draw people to himself and to Jesus, not to take and impress them by his power and by how strong he is and how great he is in that kind of a realm. The Lord brings increase again, like I said, but adds no trouble to the increase. Next of all supernatural happenings are to be judged and tested by the assembled church, the Bible says. So if anything supernatural happens, yet is suspect, it occurs, it will be judged by the church, okay? We've gotten a long ways away, far away from that. I mean, right now in America, if you take and embarrass somebody in a public service, they actually can sue you, okay, for libel, okay? So we're in an era right now where the church has kind of got its hands tied in some ways. When someone does something almost demonic or whatever in a service, if you don't handle it the right way, you're facing trouble sometimes, okay? So we got to use a lot of wisdom here in this hour. But yet at the same time, God's word tells us sometimes supernatural things may happen that may not really be from God. They might be a counterfeit work of the enemy himself, okay? And so understand that. I see more of this overseas than I do in America, but it does exist here even somewhat. The fact also is there's extremes. There's extremes where folks will take, and I see overseas sometimes, people go into total frenzies. They beat their drums in Christian services and worship and beat them and beat them and beat them and beat them. And I see folks getting into frenzies, sweat pouring down their face, flailing around, smacking folks in the head with their arms. I don't have an easy time all the time seeing that as always God all the time when it gets into the realm of people starting to get hit and smacked and rolling on the floor or exposing themselves, whatever, so forth, so on. I know that I believe myself the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He does things in a decently and orderly way. But the other extreme is doing nothing at all, where nothing happens. No supernatural, no demonstrative worship and praise, no movement towards God, no lifted hands, no dancing, no shouting. That's the other extreme. Amen. So may we find a godly, glorified balance in our lives and let God be God through us and not throw the baby out with the bathwater in that as well. Next of all supernatural occurrences, your note says this, by God will line up with his character, as also will Satan's manifestations line up with his character, okay? When Cheryl and I lived in South Africa as missionaries in the 1990s, we would go sometimes to Chatsworth Indian Township where the Hindus were having festivals a few times a year. And during one festival, the men would take and fast for 40 days and 40 nights at least on water and bread only. And they would go into the streets and they'd take and put these needles about this long in their backs, tied to twine, to little ropes. They were actually tied to chariots. They were actually big wagons, like a covered wagon of old, with a great big tent over the wagon. And they would pull those things with their backs, and all these needles that were there would be pulling their skin out almost, pulling those things through the streets there. You could just see in their face total demon possession. And those kind of manifestations there that are supernatural show that it's not the Spirit of God doing that. Amen? Our God does not need needles in your back, does not need you pulling chariots and wagons through cobblestone streets up hills, okay? Our God does not do that, amen? We don't serve a God of works or a God of bondage or a God of pain. We serve a God of peace and comfort, life, joy, and love. And so the fruit there you see from something like that is not God doing that religious thing. It's the realm of Satan happening in that. The same place, Chatsworth, I've seen women, whenever we sing songs about the blood of Jesus, they start to writhe on the ground like a serpent. Now, I understand the devil's a serpent. I didn't see that as God doing that. I saw that as Satan doing that. And there's just things like that take place. You can tell when it's Satan. You can tell when it's God. And it's very easy most of the time. Next of all, deception is the main tool of Satan. He's the father of all lies, the Bible said. He's a liar. How do you know when Satan's lying? His mouth is moving. He's a deceiver and a liar, okay? So deception is when something is bad for you, yet it is presented as something good for you. And that's why, again, Isaiah says, woe to those folks who call good evil and call evil good. And we're seeing that happening in our cultures, not America only, but our cultures of the world more and more and more. They're calling good evil and they're calling evil good. Okay, so understand that. Rat poison, again, I want to remind you, rat poison is 90% good food and 10% poison. And, of course, the 10% poison kills the rat. One of Satan's biggest deceptions, your note says this, is that he doesn't exist or that he has no power. The word power goes there. The fact is, Satan is not a toothless lion if you give him power. Satan has as much power as you give him, okay? Now, to Christians, he's powerless. He's defeated. He's nothing. He is an archangel. But to those who give Satan power by their sin, their evil disobedience, and so forth, so on, Satan does have power in their lives. Satan can bring cancer. He can bring disease. He can bring calamities. He can bring lightning storms. He can do all those things for those who give him place to do that. He does have power for that. One thing I'm trying to get my spirit man also around here is I'm hearing teachings by people, again, that are prophetic people as well. They're telling us, you know, that one thing I've kind of felt was out of order for the charismatic movement in the 1980s and 90s was telling believers to start binding the strongmen of cities, not realizing when they do that, they're going to always get a repercussion come back on them, and they may not have the authority or the faith yet to actually handle the repercussion that comes back on them fighting those kinds of devils. And so I'm trying to get my mind around that and my spirit man around that as well. But for right now, I still do attack things in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. So I'm using those kind of prayers also more and more. I'm saying abortion in Austin, Texas, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Okay, so I know that God can fight, God will fight, but I still want to pray against strong men in places like this, in the name of Jesus. Okay, I found that Satan is like the old monster movie called The Blob. The Blob, as he ate more and more flesh, got bigger and bigger and bigger. That's just how Satan is. The more flesh he eats, the bigger he gets. Okay, that's why God tells the serpent in the Old Testament, "You shall eat the dust, the flesh. Adam was made from dust of the earth, and through that." That's how he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm saying don't give the devil any food. Don't become devil's food cake yourself, okay? Your flesh is what Satan wants to manifest. When you get angry and mad and start cussing and yelling and lying and stealing and robbing banks, you're just letting that blob get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. In Austin, in your house, in your family, your neighborhood, your flesh manifesting gets Satan bigger every time, okay? So that's why the apostle said, I crucify my flesh daily, that I will not let my flesh be something Satan can use, but I see my spirit man rise up, conquer my flesh, and let the spirit man have his way, let God have his way through me by his spirit, okay? So, number three, last of all, occultic activities. These are things that are written out for you. I think there's about 10 things here. Number one is called the irrational. Those are things that are deduced or diagnosed or experienced without any recourse to natural sense knowledge, supernatural things. This includes psychic healings, hypnosis, astrology, Tarot card reading is all part of the irrational, okay? Number two, mind expansion. This includes mind-expanding drugs like LSD or heroin. You guys are here, if you have any friends at all that got involved in LSD or drugs like that, can almost every one of you can say that people on those kind of drugs always saw monsters. They always saw something demonic happen on those trips they were on in the 60s. I didn't go on those kind of trips. I took trips in cars, not on drugs. And so I don't know what that's like, but I do know that you're opening your mind up to all kinds of weird stuff by mind-expanding drugs. Okay, music is on there as well because, again, music is a soul food. It actually feeds your soul. And so, again, I spend a lot of time encouraging Christians, please try to feed your mind, your spirit, with godly music and not things that are anointed by the devil or by some lust-filled flesh person or some pickup-driving drunken person, okay? I'm saying just try to get your fill your mind as much as you can with things that are godly and righteous. I heard when our young man back here says he's been hearing more and more praise music here, testifies to me about how it's really energizing his spirit. God's speaking to him more. Good things are happening from that. So what you feed yourself with is what you become like, okay, in your life, okay? So garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in, good stuff out on music. Mind expansion techniques and Eastern meditation also is part of that mind expansion. Number three is consciousness alteration. This includes hypnosis, drugs, martial arts. Now, that's a controversial thing there. I understand, again, that not all martial arts, I don't believe, are all demonic. But I do know, again, through Fiona's research and people that have gotten involved in deep martial arts, like high levels of karate, things like that, they actually start saying cries, specific words of deities that are demons. Now, these guys aren't taught that in their classes, but some of the words they're doing, I'm not sure about like Haika or whatever else, they're actually yelling out the name of a demon that's from the Eastern religions, okay? And so they're actually tapping into a power from that devil in their higher forms of martial arts. So I'm saying if you get involved in martial arts, I'm saying use wisdom, use balance, and if you find that your spirit man's getting grieved anyway at all there, it might be time to back off and you've gone far enough into it, okay? So I believe self-defense is good. It's always good to be able to learn how to kick somebody right when they try to grab your purse, okay? But I'm saying don't let it get involved in things where you start seeing demonic hand movements start happening that are weird and weird cries out of your mouth and so forth because these guys sometimes are doing supernatural things even through martial arts, okay? Moving on here. Trances and astral projection is also part of the consciousness alteration. Number four is divination. Divination is any attempt to tell or foresee the future without God's help. It's things like astrology, character analysis, clairvoyance, crystal balls, fortune telling, and psychics. One reason that astrology is totally false and bogus is because twins don't have the same life. Yeah, they got the same star, same sign, same date of birth, but their lives are totally different, okay? And so that right there blows astrology out of the water. Twins do, okay? And so all these things here are part of divination. Number five is spiritism, which is contacting spirits of the dead. It includes automatic handwriting. Understand again that the most popular song of all rock history called The Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin was written in 15 minutes by automatic handwriting. Understand that. Automatic handwriting happens in the realms of the occult. It includes materialization, where things begin to materialize in rooms, apparitions, or whatever else. It includes planchettes, which is playing with a Ouija board, a glass type thing, even a glass like this, upside down. It includes psychic healings, reincarnation beliefs are there, and also seances. This is what, again, Fiona was involved in spiritism and not witchcraft, she didn't think. Because she did not see her demons as actually demons that were bad. Spiritists don't believe they're doing things in Satan's power. They think that there's good spirits like Casper that's working through them, and they're very deceived by those demons, that they're very good people, good beings that actually help people out. Reincarnation is part of this because I told the congregation in the past here that one thing Fiona was doing, she told us very, very strongly, was at nighttime in South Africa, she would actually take and astral project out of her body. She would go and catch a UFO over Durban. She would actually take and look at the ships in the harbor and memorized those in her brain to make sure she wasn't dreaming. And she would rescue people who had died. Their soul was in limbo, and she would grab their souls and try to help them find another body to go into. And she did what's called rescue work. And so people in modern spiritualism, they think that's where UFOs are all about. They think that's what reincarnation is all about, is we're helping people, when they leave their bodies by death, find a new body to go into. What they're really doing is finding a person's body for a demon to go into and possess him somehow, some way. So that's all I want to say about the whole reincarnation thing and spiritism kind of mixed together. Then number six, witchcraft, is the manipulation of supernatural forces for one's own ends. Magic, mind control techniques, Satanism is included with this in the dark side, spells, curses, voodoo, witchcraft, and you're going to find that the fruit of all witchcraft is domination, manipulation, and intimidation. And those are all the fruits that take place from witchcraft as well. Number seven is a thing called mysticism, the belief that man can acquire spiritual truth through his intuition by fixed meditation. This includes transcendental meditation and yoga. Number eight is false religions, the worship of false gods. I wrote down there ancestor worship, very strong in the Zulus and the African people, especially the American Indians had a lot of this going on as well, as do folks in Asia that are involved in false religions. It includes Buddhism, it includes Islam, Hinduism. We also wrote down here the Virgin Mary. You got to realize again that I'm not trying to say that all Catholics are possessed. But Catholicism's roots come from goddess worship. And so you're going to find that Mary plays a huge part in the Catholic Church. Mary's probably even higher than Jesus is. And folks actually pray to Mary. They get forgiven by Mary. They say Hail Mary or whatever. Mother Mary, full of grace, whatever. And so there's very much a lot of goddess worship in that religion that's there. And so I'm not going to get involved in that for controversy's sake, but just understand that that can become a real false thing. That's why Jesus in the Bible tells the disciples, I think one lady cried out to Jesus and said, blessed is a woman who gave suck to you as you were a baby. Jesus Christ comes right back and says what? Blessed rather are those who follow God and know Jesus Christ, basically as Lord and Savior. He said, don't worship my mother, worship God. Worship the Lord. She was a vessel God used, but don't worship my mother, okay? And the apostle even told Mother Mary, a sword shall pierce your heart also, because you need to get saved also by what God does through his son, Jesus Christ. So number nine is philosophies. This includes New Age philosophies, the yin and yang theories. Cosmic consciousness is also there. Number 10 is jewelry, literature, and art. Those which are occultic in nature, I would encourage you guys to avoid things that are occultic in your house or on your necks or even for jewelry. Now, I'm not dogmatic about how everything that's a five-pointed star is going to draw a demon to you. But I'm just saying, just use common sense and wisdom about what you put in your house, okay? When I go overseas to foreign missions trips, I don't bring back witchcraft masks. I don't bring back the Buddha little idols and put them in my house. I don't bring back things to try to maybe attract something negative in my house. I don't want to be there. We learned that also a few years ago, when we had that little African clay hut from the Zulus of South Africa. That thing was actually had brought a demonic presence in our house, doing really weird things in our home. And by the grace of God, prophetic people discerned that. And then our daughter Sarah discerned that, began crying and weeping as God showed her that thing in our house. So we smashed the thing and broke the thing and threw it in the trash. And a lot of weird things quit happening in our house from that night on. Okay, so I'm just saying, use discernment and wisdom in bringing stuff in your home that have occultic, demonic influence on them, perhaps in some way. Okay, last of all here, renouncing occultic involvement. We need to take it and ask ourselves, have we ever been involved in anything like this in our lives that might be occultic? To renounce the occult is not about God forgiving us. It's about legal ground being given to the devil that God wants to annihilate and cut off out of our lives. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. That means renounce means to speak out, to set forth, to declare. It's like opening a door and inviting the devil in as a guest. It's like fish hooks being put in your own soul. I don't believe Christians can be demon possessed, but I believe Christians can be demon oppressed. Okay? You can have demons around you, drawn to you by different doors you open up to them. So I'm saying, let's do all we can to keep doors shut to the devil and don't invite them around us like flies to honey in our lives. Amen? Let's attract the Holy Spirit. Let's attract God's work and God's desires and God's presence, not the powers of darkness. Moving on here, sometimes items in our homes should be destroyed. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25, 26 says this, "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not desire or covet the silver or gold on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by that, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination in your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it is. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing to God." New Testament, Acts 19, verse 18 says this, "Many Christians who now believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic and the occult brought their books together and then burned them publicly in full sight of all. They counted up the amount of the book's value. They amounted to 50,000 pieces of silver." This is New Testament Spirit-filled Christians who God convicts them to burn their occultic demonic books, and they amounted to 50,000 pieces of silver, okay? I'm going to have Anson come to the platform and just kind of be up here to help you just play something for kind of softly at the end of this service as well. I'm going to pray in a moment. But I'm saying to you guys here in closing tonight that I've found through our rock seminars, I've found through our realms of witchcraft exploration, finding things out about the occult and magic and so forth and so on, that the devil is just trying to find ways to have inroads in people's lives and hearts. And I'm very, very vexed sometimes to see how we as Christians, believers, just take what the status quo or what the culture dictates is okay and don't really ask God sometimes, what do you find is okay? Now, God's not into legalism. God hates religion. I understand all of that, but God also wants us to use the Bible and the Word of God to be a template for us on things we should avoid, try to bring into our lives, our ears, our homes, our cars, and our lives. As I close this in prayer here in a moment, I want to pray tonight that if you have tonight have heard anything at all I've spoken out of here of these 10 practices that you might have been involved with yourself in your life. Maybe you got involved in hypnosis. You might have got involved in something to try to quit smoking or quit drinking or whatever else and tried to use sometimes maybe psychic powers, or you might have called somebody up there or gone to a psychic yourself to get a fortune read or get your palm read. Maybe you might have used tarot cards in the past for fortune telling. Maybe you had a person that actually spoke a blessing over you that was actually involved in witchcraft themselves. And those are kind of things there, again, that bring oppressive inroads into us that God wants us to take and renounce in specific. The Bible says, take the hidden things and renounce them in specific. I want to pray to God tonight, each one of us, as we just bow our head and close our eyes again tonight, we just ask the Holy Spirit, Father God, Holy Spirit, please bring to my mind, my heart, anything I might have done that might have brought an inroad to the enemy. Anything in my house, things in my car that might be grieving your spirit, that might have some kind of a demonic or dark power attached to them as a magnet. I pray, God, show that to me in Jesus' name. Father, I praise you, God, even now. You are the revealer of mysteries in the realm of the good and not the bad. Right now, so we have to pray for ourselves and say, Father God, just take my mind, my heart. I renounce right now any hypnosis I've been involved with, any kind of anything that was demonic in the realms of meditation, fortune telling, psychic readings, astrology. I renounce those things right now in specific in the name of Jesus. If folks have prayed over me that have been involved in the occult or demonic things, I just renounce that right now. And I say that curse be broken off of me in Jesus' name. I declare every curse be broken, and I declare every blessing is my portion. I declare the blood of Jesus covers my life, that no weapon formed against me prospers. I declare that Satan has no inroad in my life in the name of Jesus. And Father, help me walk in discernment in the days ahead. Help me, God, know right from wrong, what is good, what is evil, and not be trapped or snared by even deceptive cultures around me that would accept things that you yourself do not accept in this nation, in this world, in Jesus' name. We praise you, God, for the ability also to even take and maybe even destroy some things or throw some things out that cost us good money, knowing that they are a curse. They are not fit to be on this earth, and you can repay everything the devil has taken from me in Jesus' name. I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord, this night, and I declare freedom. I declare liberty. I declare every door be broken off my mind, my life, my family, my house in the name of Jesus. And I declare blessings, oh God, on my portion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.